Before we get to today's episode of Rob as a Podcast, where we're going to hear about something called Survivor the Musical, originally written by our friend Miles Nye. I want to take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast, which are our friends over at Bet Online. There's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, with the UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and soccer leading the way. And BetOnline has all the odds and lines for the upcoming games and matches. If you need more, BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening every day live for you to check out. And if you're looking for something else other than sports, BetOnline also has hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and all the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag or use your mobile device and join now to receive your new welcome bonus and start playing today. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino here, and we have a special podcast here for you today. Some bonus coverage as we started the week off in the Wiggle Room talking about a throwback to Survivor Marquesas, where we talked about episode number 3. We watched Hunter get voted off. We listened to Wandoffs, and then shortly thereafter, I got an email from a great friend of the podcast, Mr. Miles Nye, who said, hey, do you still have any time for Survivor Marquesas-related music? And I said, you better believe it. So first, here is the great Miles Nye. Miles, how are you?
Great, Rob. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be back on the podcast.
Okay. Miles has made many appearances over the years talking about things like The Genius and his work consulting for challenges on Survivor, and many other Survivor-related topics. And so, Miles, it is a pleasure to have you back.
It's nice to be back. Well, it's nice to be here. I guess I'm here all day, every day now. But it's nice to be podcasting with you.
Yeah, it's nice to be podcasting with you. And then also, we're going to be listening to music. And I said, okay, Josh Wiggler, are you up for this? And he said, you...
Yeah, baby!
Yeah.
He said, yeah, baby!
Yes!
Crazy, crazy man.
Yes. Well, also I said yes because Miles is a dear friend of mine who I've shared desserts with.
Ooh.
Miles Nye, famous underreported sweet tooth. Miles Nye.
Oh man, yeah, I'm a maniac for a brownie.
You're like Justin Hammer, the Iron Man 2 antagonist. You like your sweets before your savory.
And the similarities don't stop there.
They don't stop there. And so Miles and I love Miles, and we've gotten to hang out a little bit. It's been a while, but we've gotten the chance to know each other offline. But this is the first time we've ever crossed podcast paths. So this was an opportunity for me that I couldn't pass up.
And also, you and I have we share an affinity for musicals.
Yes,
for musical theater. And so that we needed both of us here because I think Rob probably stands somewhat apart from us on that scale.
I do love a brownie sundae.
I think that we're all united in our shared love of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Common ground. We need more of that these days.
And yeah. We're all united in our shared love of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep, common ground.
Our history with the show. And I think it is underreported that Rob does love a musical.
Rob
right?
tolerates like, a musical. Well, Rob, why don't you speak for yourself?
Les Miserables is his favorite.
Yes, yeah. It's not my area of expertise.
Well, I've got good news for you, whereas normally going to see a musical is a commitment of 2 hours or more.
Mm-hmm. I like Little Shop of Horrors. Does that count?
Oh, there you go. Absolutely.
That very much counts.
Yeah.
You're a fan of The Dentist?
Yeah, that's good. The movie. I like the movie.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
With Rick Moranis.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a big Rick Moranis guy?
Sure. Yeah. I think I probably have seen just about almost everything he's done.
Big Bully?
You know, no.
You didn't see that one?
No. Little Giants.
I thought you were calling him a name.
No, no, I call him Little Bully. Is Rob's nickname. It's easy to confuse the two. Yeah, Icebox, Little Giants, the kid with the glasses,
mm-hmm.
Tiny Boy.
Well, let's just explain what we're going to do here for today, because I'm pretty sure that there are people listening and they're still confused to what this podcast is, and maybe people on the panel also.
So, let's throw back the clock. All right. All right, here we go.
Hold on. Should we slap our wristbands
not
on?
Yet.
Well, he just said we're going back through time.
Okay, going back through time. So long ago in 2002, I was at UCLA and I was studying musical theater. This was my undergrad program. I was on the path to become a theater artist, and I had a great time in my liberal arts in my theater school. And then, as now, I was a diehard Survivor fan, and also then, as now, a fan of musicals. And for my senior project before I graduated, I wrote, directed, and appeared in Survivor the Musical. This was sort of my passion project at the end of college. And, for good reason, that stayed in a drawer for about 20 years.
I am a little bit like gobsmacked over here that this exists.
Yeah, how have we not heard about this before?
I will tell you, I can answer that question, because in the same way that you really shouldn't read people your poetry that you wrote when you were in high school,
really
shouldn't share the musicals that you wrote when you were in college. So I kind of want to because if anyone listening is like, oh my gosh, when Lin-Manuel Miranda was at Wesleyan as an undergrad, he wrote In the Heights. And, Stephen Sondheim, he wrote the lyrics to West Side Story when he was 23. Yeah, lower your expectations.
Would it surprise you to know that I wrote poetry in high school and it was very successful on some romantic crusades?
Whoa!
Yes, yeah, a couple of flings.
That is a weird flex.
Wow.
I don't want to brag, but high school wiggler. I would like to go back and read some of those poems. People could use them.
I think that could be a podcast for sure.
I don't know where they are. Poems.
Just swap the names in.
I don't know where they are. I wrote only one poem for my wife, Emily Fox. I remember it off the top of my head. It is Emily Fox. She likes the Red Sox, but does she like locks? And locks like L-O-X. It was supposed to be like, does she like me, a Jewish person? it turned out the answer was yes.
Okay. You know, I think different people are going to have their own interpretation of those poems. I think that's the mark of a great poem, is that you might think that does she like locks means something else entirely.
Right, like escape rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's where we were all going.
I heard that locks are the lazy man's escape room mechanism. Mm.
I agree with that.
It also could have referred to the long locks that I had back at the time. I had like shoulder length hair.
John Locke.
Yeah, John Locke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyhow, there's a performance, a stage show some of you might have seen. It's called Mortified, where people read like their old poetry from high school or read their old diary entries. And I went to go see that show back when seeing shows was a thing years ago. And it was I was like, oh my God, this is so cringy. Oh, I could never do that, because I would think of like things that I wrote in my diary. It's like, oh yeah, if I read that in front of an audience, it would probably get a big laugh because it's so cringy. But I can't. It's just too embarrassing, too personal. And yet here we are. So I have for you some songs from Survivor the Musical to share.
Okay.
Unbelievable. So Survivor the Musical, I'm sure, Rob, do you have questions? Or I have some questions.
Yeah, let's, I guess, really. So has Survivor the Musical ever been performed, Miles?
Yes, it was performed one night only at UCLA. And it was one of these, like a theater festival when there's a million shows going on all at once. And it's the undergrads, and they just have like free reign of the space. So I was in a black box room. And it was, there were other shows going on, around the campus and next door. But we had a packed house. We were over full for Survivor the Musical's one night only performance in the spring of 2003.
Spring of 2003, Survivor the Marquesa is happening, correct?
No.
It has happened. That's you. Wait, Sesti's on. Rabasu is on Survivor.
This is the all-time peak of Survivor, Josh. Spring of 2003.
So we're at the peak. So, but you say that this was spawned on by the fact that we were talking about the Marquesa this week. So my question is this an original musical in terms of like, are you creating your own Survivor storyline, or is this an adaptation of the Marquesa?
It is an adaptation of the Marchesa. It is 39 days of Marchesa in two acts.
Okay.
Wow.
Miles, what was the date of Survivor the Musical? When did it air? Or what was the night of, do you recall?
No.
Ballpark, was it the end of the semester?
Yeah, it was days before I graduated, yeah.
Okay, so sometime right around the finale of Survivor the Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the fact that Survivor the Amazon was so fun to watch as opposed to Survivor Thailand...
Had a lot of buzz.
It had a lot of buzz. I think it was keeping my interest afloat and why I decided to musicalize Survivor.
So this is May 2003. And so you are, you, Rob, are gearing up to be on stage for the Survivor, the Amazon finale.
Mm-hmm.
In front of a big studio audience.
Yeah.
Miles is gearing up to put on Survivor the musical on a big stage in front of everybody. And I had sunglasses that I wore, prescription sunglasses that I was wearing every day inside with bleach blonde hair. And I looked like Guy Fieri. And I was getting ready to graduate high school on a big stage, having freshly done this whole look. For playing a modern version of Puck in Midsummer Night's Dream. Again, very, very, very popular.
I think it's a Puck from the Real World, the musical.
No, kind of inspired, though. So it's, I just think it's interesting that all three of us in May 2003 had very big stage events happening.
We had more in common than we had apart.
We found it.
Okay. Miles, was there a big turnout for Survivor the Musical One Night Only?
Yeah. There was a lot of buzz. It was a big cast. We had 16 people, or it was slightly less than 16 people because there were some, like the actor who played Peter Harkey also played Gabriel Cade. Because since Peter Harkey was voted out so early, double.
Dual role.
There were a couple dual roles, but we had a big cast and
they were never seen together.
They were never seen together. Peter Harkey, not much was seen of at all. So we had a big cast and, you know, there was a lot of buzz. There were two original musicals and the other one was a sort of like David Bowie inspired glam rock play called Glitter Prince.
Yes.
And the writer and director of that was Brian Crano, who's gone on to be a very successful filmmaker.
Oh.
And in my mind, there was this like contrast, like that Brian Crano's musical was like the big Goliath. And that my silly musical was the David and that we were the underdogs.
The precursor to Survivor David versus Goliath.
That was what I was thinking. How was I to know? Yes. You know, that was way ahead of my time.
Yes.
There was a lot, you know, theater kids show up for stuff. And a lot of kids came to see my musical. My parents flew into town and there was one faculty member there, which was extremely uncommon. And we will circle back to him because he does factor into this story. Professor Mel Shapiro, a Tony Award-winning director who was the head of the acting program, he came and saw the show. And it was very unusual for faculty to come see a show. And so I guess that Mel's curiosity was piqued.
Okay. Miles, does Survivor the Musical, based on Survivor Marquesas, culminate in a reprise of the musical number that Rosie O'Donnell sings at the Survivor Marquesas finale to the tune of Gilligan's Island?
It does not.
But does she ride in on a motorcycle with Colby Donaldson at the end?
She does not. Rosie does not appear on stage. The show ends when the winner is revealed.
Okay.
There's no reunion in the musical. I figured it was a lot just to keep people.
This is the reunion.
Okay.
This is the reunion. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Miles, so what are we about to hear? We're going to hear original music composed by you for Survivor the Musical. It's not like parody song.
All original tunes and original lyrics. Yeah. No parody songs.
And are you singing them or are these original recordings from the original production?
So what happened was a week ago Friday.
The original music soundtrack.
I listened to you guys' podcast about when you dropped at the end, you were talking about Survivor Australia and then you said, next we're going to do Survivor Marquesas episode 3. And I thought, and it was Friday. And I was like, oh my God, do I submit one of my songs for the musical for the Wandoff? Where even are my songs? And so I got out my old hard drives and like plugged them into my laptop one by one to find out where the songs were. And I went deep down a rabbit hole sleuthing and I found I had hired someone back then to transcribe the songs and make lead sheets and MIDI files in case I ever wanted to do anything with them again, which I guess I am.
Yeah, great foresight.
But that website had been, like it said, you know, site, like when I went, I went into old emails, I found the link to the website. I went to the website, it said site under construction, the site was taken down. So like I used the Wayback Machine to find out what the site had looked like on that day. And I typed different extensions into my web browser. And I, much to my surprise, I found these old files. And the first person that I, now when I wrote these songs, I didn't do it alone. Nobody, I didn't do anything alone. It's theater, right? It's a collaborative art. I had a friend in college named Sean Hart, and Sean was the musical director and he was the accompanist and he played Jeff Probst on stage. So he played all the songs and sang and did the Jeff Probst role. And Sean is actually not somebody I've spoken to in years and years. I wish him all the best. I don't know where he is now. Sometimes artistic collaborations and friendships can get a bit tempestuous. A long time has gone by and I wish him nothing but the best, but we haven't talked in years and years. So rather than reach out to Sean, which I think would have been just too crazy, I reached out first to Ryan Elder.
Yes.
And I said, Ryan,
great.
I have such a crazy ask. If I send you a file, could you make a song for Survivor the Musical? And he did. And then we didn't get it done in time for the wand off. And I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll just make Rob and Josh do a whole other podcast.
Yes.
And
so, we got nothing going on. You know,
we got a bit, rather than like slip in one original song to the wand off, we'll build a whole thing about it. Then I was like, well, one song is going to feel a little thin. So I posted in the Facebook group and I got two replies from two fans of the podcast. I heard from Max Soberman, who was really nice and offered to lend his talents. And we weren't able, you know, it didn't work out this time around. But Aaron Robertson said, I will help.
Goofer.
And Aaron has been like working around the clock to create these files.
The prolific
guy, he's so talented. And also, there's going to be kind of a through line in the story.
Yes.
And the through line
also
is,
shout out to Aaron Robertson, who is the host of our new Karma wrap up.
What's Karma?
Oh, HBO Max, Kid Survivor.
Oh, amazing.
Oh,
I didn't know.
I'll give that a watch.
That's awesome. That's great.
So there's a through line, which is that I'm dumb because I was like, oh, this nice person is responding to me and offering to help me. And he and I sent a bunch of emails and it took me until late last night to go, hey, wait a minute. Is this the same Aaron Robertson who played the $100,000 Rahap pyramid that I wrote last year? And yes, it is the same person. And I just didn't put two and two together because I'm dumb. Aaron, this guy is a mensch. People should put him to work. And also, I am usually, one thing that I really try to do, that I'm really strict about is I pay the people that I work with. If I'm doing something creatively, I say you deserve to be compensated for your time. And I didn't pay anybody who worked on this project because this was like just a really quick, I don't know. I still do as I say, not as I do. The world is topsy-turvy right now, and there's other stuff that I should be focusing on, but I went down this rabbit hole of working on Survivor songs that we could podcast about.
Amazing.
So I'm sending Aaron a thank you gift, but he should definitely get hired. Put this guy to work. He's amazing.
Yes. Yes. He made four wand-offs in 1 week at one point.
See, I thought, and he teams up with Jordan Kalish a lot. Yeah.
And Nick
correct?
Fishman.
And Nick Fisher. So the fact that he is like often mentioned in the same sentence of Jordan Kalish, I thought, well, this guy must be rubbish. But it turns out that that's not the case. Yes. So, you know, Jordan's reputation may be bringing Aaron down. But maybe that's
I think that's right. I think Aaron needs to unshackle the Jordan relationship.
Yeah. And also, Jonathan Penner famously dragged him recently.
That was unfortunate. That was
I think he was probably, I mean, if we want to nitpick it, he must have probably been dragging Jordan, right? Aaron's
it was Nick with Nick Fishman. It was not.
Never mind.
That one had Kalish was uninvolved in that incident.
To be fair, I think Penner had to go.
I think he had to create a moment.
Stop the music.
Yeah. Oh, I listened to that podcast. Yeah, yeah. That was a golden. Like,
what is
all-star
this rubbish
wand off content?
Yeah.
So I did also go back into the. I texted a couple of my old friends who were in the original cast from college. So we have the original Hunter and the original Nalia reprising their roles.
Wow!
And the other voices you're going to hear are Aaron, who filled in vocals for some of the other parts. And I'm in there somewhere. These songs are hot off the presses. One of them I have not even heard because it just came in this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to hear music by Aaron Robertson and Ryan Elder and vocals by my friends, Annie Clark and Jeff Parker. And
wow, this is Aaron. Such a big musical weekend here on Rob Has a Podcast between this podcast, the Robin Akiva coming up this weekend as well. Robin Akiva, Write a Bop That Slaps is also coming up this weekend. So it's a big weekend for original music on Rob Has a Podcast, culminating in this weekend's Wand Off on Monday with Josh Wiggler.
That's correct.
So, I mean, we need a song in our heart. We need a spring in our step. There's a lot that's out of our control. A lot we would change if we could, but we can carry a song with us as we go to embolden us to continue to fight for change and for what's right.
Hell yeah. Okay. All right. 100%. All right. So at this point, should we slap on the time traveling bracelets and didgeridoo our way back into this
2002 or 2003?
I guess technically we're going to May 2003 to talk about May 2002.
Yeah.
I also want to paint a picture of the musical itself because people ask like, well, so was everybody in swimsuits? And I went with a different spin on it because this was a theatrical production. I did. If you've ever tuned in by accident to like PBS and you've seen like a concert performance where everybody is like dressed in suits and gowns and they've got their music stands in front of them. That is how we did Survivor the Musical. We did it as a highbrow concert performance.
So I don't know that I like the implication that people aren't intentionally going to turn on PBS.
If you turn on PBS and I don't know. They're like,
I don't know why we have to stumble on it.
Look, there's a lot of content out there.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to paint a picture of like what you would have seen if you'd seen. I've got some photos also. Maybe I'll share those.
Let's go back to the UCLA stage of 2003. Just as a quick aside, Josh, did you happen to read Dalton Ross's epic oral history of the Dragons this week? Speaking of musical amazement on the podcast this week.
Dalton and I had talked a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned, by the way, I'm about to do like the craziest oral history that I've ever done. And it's like, what are you? He's like, I'm giving you no clues other than that. And after a few guesses, like I just like threw out, are you going to do the oral history of the Dragons? He's like, bingo. I was like, I can't believe that you're doing this. You are an incredible, crazy human being.
It's a crazy time.
Don Ross is the greatest of all time. Yeah. Don Ross, who gets like shit on by Survivor Internet sometimes, like everyone needs to stop. Dalton is the king. Dalton is an incredible human being. And if you are not convinced by the fact that he did this deep dive oral history on the Dragons, then you cannot be saved.
Well,
that is my feeling.
The reason I bring it up, Josh, that did you happen to come across the part in the story where Jeff Probst shows up to jam with the Dragons with his instrument of choice, which is, of course, the didgeridoo?
Jeff Probst in an alternate universe, I think, would have really liked to have been a rock god. I don't know that it's too late.
I mean, if it was one thing where, you know, Survivor has sort of a permanent home in Fiji, and I can understand that Jeff has like a bunch of his stuff there. Okay, yeah. I see it. But at this time where Survivor is shooting a different place every year, does Jeff Probst pack his didgeridoo for Samoa?
He's separating the stuff. Like, this is going on the trip. This I'm going to leave home. There's a didgeridoo-sized hole in my cage.
Is my didgeridoo packed?
He has that with like that's like roving with like the challenge department. Like that's part of their gear that they're schlepping from spot to spot.
They bring it, but because they know Jeff likes to play it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. He's got his home didgeridoo that never leaves.
That's actually he's got his home didgeridoo for play, and then he's got the one that's encased in the carbonite on his wall. That's decorative. His decorative feature.
For Survivor 41, should they consider maybe having like the torch gets snuffed with a didgeridoo, like with a big gust of air coming out
of
it?
That would be 6 feet of distance.
Yeah.
The tribe has spoken.
Wow. Yeah.
It's ominous. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good idea.
Okay.
I blinked out for a minute there.
Okay.
Now I've got the image of Jeff, blowing some didgeridoo Doobie Brothers or something in my mind.
Chicken from somewhere back in long ago.
That was what we needed. I'll say one last thing, and then we can queue up one of Aaron Robertson's songs, which is, so at the time, there... So,
yeah, okay. Please set these up.
Survivor podcasting was not a thing at the time.
Right? Podcasting was not a thing.
Podcasting
Rob invented it, right?
No.
Rob, well, you were first to the post.
I neither invented podcasting or Survivor podcasting.
Yeah. But the Survivor podcast, and this is sort of a realization I had probably while listening to you guys like a little while ago, that to an extent, Survivor podcasting is an interconnected set of skills, a constellation, as Mad Dog would say. But among other things, it is sort of the art of taking a few things that people said when they went camping and saying them over and over again. There's more to it than that, right? There's an art to it as well. But that, to an extent, that is part of it. But that wasn't invented. So the reason I bring that up is I had a different approach when I was writing the musical. It was kind of like, well, I'll just have them say things that they might have said or didn't say or are similar to things that they did say and sort of expand upon that, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not going to hear Pascal say epitome in this musical because like that's a good idea. It just hadn't been invented yet necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, he said it once and... So the other problem is that because I was writing as a young man, a theater artist, and I didn't have a lot of life experience, I did a thing that you really shouldn't do, which is that all the characters, for the most part, sound like me. There's not like a wide range of like voices or authentic dialogue in the musical. So, okay. That's not great. And so also like, one of the things I like about writing musicals is I love rhymes. I love rhymes of all different kinds. But what I would do, there's a lot that I would do differently now because, I did things like have a character rhyme the word panacea with Nalia. Okay. Now that's a great rhyme. If you know that panacea is a word that means something that cures everything, but most people don't have that in their vocabulary. And definitely the person singing in the musical probably would not have said that on Survivor. So it's kind of like, rhymes at the expense of authenticity. And that's not great. And that's why I say like the through line here is I'm dumb. So like I just
it's a lot of asterisks, I think.
Yeah. A lot of asterisks. Yeah. I think I'm
like let's not pee on the musical until we know it's been stung by a sea urchin. Yeah. We're not there yet.
Yeah. With somebody complaining that I don't think that the general would use the word panacea.
I need a panacea for my injured toe.
No panacea, no gain.
Yeah. I think the general's panacea is a full denim suit. That's the cure for all of his ails.
I want to do an... this really is mortifying. I want to do an appropriate
Johnny Potson
level.
Johnny Potson panacea.
There he is. Showing up.
Yeah.
I want to do an appropriate level of self-deprecation before sharing this stuff with you because it is mortifying, but it's all left is right, up is down. The dragon's oral history is happening. It's an unusual time. So let's play this song. And the other thing that really struck me is I rewatched season 4, episode 3, and the number of songs from the musical that are specifically germane to this episode is an unusually high number of songs.
Yeah.
So I suggest we play The Battle of the Alpha Males, which is the song that represents how Hunter and Rob and Sean feel about what the Mara Amu tribe should be doing and what direction it should be going.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
And this is the one I haven't heard yet, so this is going to be a world premiere for me.
Let's listen, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Here is the Alpha Male anthem.
Sean has the brains of the
hunter, has the brains of the
alpha male. I should reign for
I have a right to complain for
I am the true alpha male. Battle of the alpha males, battle of the alpha males. Coolest head prevails in the battle of the alpha males. Hunter does whatever he wants because he thinks he's with a crowd that's cowed and meek.
Not cowed, not meek.
When people do what the Rob Father tells them to, we will end the Mara Amu losing streak. Oh, the battle of the alpha males, battle of the alpha males. The first battle to finish fails in the battle of the alpha males. I've got survival skills, I can forage for food that fulfills, but no one here but Gina heeds my words. Were it left up to Rob and his corn roadside show Bob, we would shirk our jobs all day and just chase birds. Oh, the battle of the alpha males, battle of the alpha males, the most timorous fighting quails in the battle of the alpha males.
I'm from the hood, so you know my word is good when I say I'm not the Swiss Robinson family. But whoever said some tall slice of Wonder Bread should call the shots round here's a mystery.
Oh, the battle of the alpha males, battle of the alpha males.
I knock the wind from your sails.
In your coffin, I'll drive the nails.
You'll be extinct as the killer whales.
Killer whales aren't extinct. They are, however, endangered.
Oh, the battle of the alpha males.
Wow. Well done, Miles. Do we have an update on the whales?
I
on
was
the killer
just
whales?
Gonna ask, how are the killer whales doing?
How are they doing?
Have they made a comeback?
I don't know. It was a long time ago. Well, that's changed. Mm.
Okay.
Some local populations are considered threatened or endangered, due to prey depletion. In late 2005, the southern resident killer whales, which swim in British Columbia and Washington state waters, were placed on the United States endangered species list.
Okay. They are endangered. Yeah, so we learned something.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. They did better than Hunter, though.
They did, yeah.
Well, are they making flashlight commercials?
It's true.
I got a huge, and so what's so funny, like this is 20 years ago, you know, and I still remember Jeff, who played the role of Hunter, and you heard him sing as Hunter, which Hunter had a very Gaston-like role, I feel like, and then like in another version, he'd be the hero. When he did that line, which is just there because of the rhyme, like you'll be extinct as killer whales, and he goes, killer whales aren't extinct. They are, however, endangered. You got a huge laugh in the room. You'll just have to take my word for it. I was there.
Yes.
Miles, do you have the lyrics for readily available to read?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I know, because with the music and the mix, it comes off a little hard. So the first thing they sing, and I think this is a classic example, and actually I have it in my head. I do have it around here, but I also have it in my head, which is Rob, and they all sing somebody else's name. Rob Sean Hunter has the brains of an alfalfa bale. I should reign. I have every right to complain because I am the true alpha male.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Was there another lyric that you were trying to pinpoint there?
No, I, there was this book, that, my family had. It was just like bathroom reading when I was growing up as a kid. And the book was called "Excuse Me While I Kiss This Guy." And it was a picture of Jimi Hendrix trying to kiss somebody. And it was about misheard lyrics.
Yes, and also sometimes called mondegreens.
Yes.
When you hear a lyric other than what it actually is.
So yeah. I'm like a mondegreener. So like I hear things and like I convert them into different words. So often like I will miss like the actual lyrics, or I will have to strain especially hard to hear what they are. So if you have lyrics handy, I will take them. I will accept them.
Okay, you want me to send this to you now while we're on the line?
If you have sure. them, and I'll read them after the songs are done, so I can consult them after the fact.
Okay, you want me to send that now? Should we stop or should we forge ahead?
No, keep going. Okay. Forge ahead.
So the roles were originally played. The Boston Rob was Jeff Kidwell, and Sean Rector was Travis Robertson. And Jeff, I don't remember what happened to Jeff. Travis went to Broadway, and he was in Hairspray and He was a hustling New York actor, and he really did that thing. Amazing, talented guy, voice like an angel. I was able to pick and choose, you know, of the my friends and the other theater people. You know, we were young. We were there to do theater, and I went to people. Yes. And I was like, "Hey, I'm doing a musical. Will you appear in it?" And
did
I
you got, check to see if Travis Robertson is Aaron Robertson's dad?
That would be,
and that
really
his son
well in the
spirit the work.
Of time travel. It's not yes. impossible
that he
that,
is Aaron Robertson.
Correct.
I know. I just figured it's a pretty common last name. That's where I went with it. Hmm. But let's stay at Mara Amu. Let's do the true villains anthem. Let's do the Rob Father song. And this song in this show was intercut as the votes against Hunter were being read at Tribal Council.
Oh, wow. So, oh, that's well done. That's well done. Okay. This is the song.
Oh, and, yes. Yeah, the other thing is that I didn't have any time to communicate, you know, with the actors, the people who were giving me their time. So again, you're going to hear Aaron's vocals on this one. And there's a couple instances where the lyrics as written, they rhyme if you do an exaggerated Boston accent. Like mm-hmm. you're going to hear him say, "I saw Hunter deplore me from the moment he saw me." But I wasn't able to, you know, pass that information along to Aaron. Another example of like, does Boston Rob use the word deplore? He does not. That's Miles, the musical writer.
He you might.
Know, I can imagine.
He might.
She deplores. I deplore her.
Hey. So that's just me sort of like, you know, just doing my thing. I would do it differently now. But so some of the rhymes work better with a heavy Boston accent. And Aaron, here you'll hear, sings beautifully, just doesn't have the Boston accent because I didn't give him that note. So it's, okay. That's no reflection on Aaron.
All right, here is the Rob Father anthem.
When the Rob Father calls the shots, when the Rob Father calls the shots, the wise and the strong won't last very long. When the Rob Father calls the shots, when the Rob Father is in charge, he chooses who sees losers large. I watched Hunter deplore me from the minute he saw me, but the Rob Father calls the shots. Oh, winning the challenges, that would be nice. Creature comforts and food in my belly. But since we cannot, someone must pay the price. If there's one thing that I know, Mac, it's Machiavelli who said, it's better that people should fear you than feel that they want to come near you. I say this one time only, leave the gun, take the cannoli. When the Rob Father calls the shots.
I think that quote was from The Godfather.
Yeah, yes. That was a quote from The Godfather.
Yeah, yeah. That was legit.
It was not the quote that appeared in the episode, but yeah, I kind of like, I free associated that lyric into the song.
Now, you're saying that you put this in a drawer, but that's so funny because I did hear this song in Fear.
Yeah.
With an exclamation point.
Yeah. Fear the Musical. Yeah, Fear the Musical.
Yes.
It was really well done.
Production. Somebody must have been in my drawers.
Yeah.
Well,
wow. Who knows?
Well done. Beautiful. Yeah. I feel like that, Josh, we get so many like Scar songs prepared.
Yeah, that is definitely in the spirit of like the Disney villain anthem that had been happening. You said Gaston before, but this feels like, yeah, this feels like Sinister. This is like, this sounds like this was like the Be Prepared of Survivor.
I don't even like that little Be Prepared.
I'm in the presence of greatness. You had the, the Gaston with Hunter. You had, it was really like when all the, what is it, like on Halloween when all the Disney villains get together. I think there was that going on.
Hmm.
Okay. Not this year, probably.
All right.
Why such a big reaction on that?
Hmm?
Why from Rob such a big reaction on
it's like the
Halloween?
Disney villains?
Yeah.
So that's very sinister.
I think Survivor Disney Heroes versus Disney Villains could be fun.
Could be a good one. Yeah, people would be excited
for that. Let's stay on Mararama, but let's pivot away from the villains and let's go to Pappy and Sweet Pea.
Yes, please. So this is post swap.
No, pre-swap. Yep, pre-swap. This dialogue. This song is inspired by dialogue that happens in episode 3. This is about the Pappy.
Sweet Pea and Pappy origin story.
Yep.
Oh, this is probably a really touching scene in the show.
Well,
their relationship is really a huge emotional through line to carry you through the narrative, I would assume.
Yeah, and it's forged in the fires of Mararama Beach and immortalized in song.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so let's listen to Sweet Pea and Pappy from Survivor the Musical. Foreshadowing.
Oh, wow. God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, both the epitome of what this great country of ours has to offer.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I guess it did make its way in there. That's great.
Yes.
Hey, my question for you is, how did the Rock Drop play in the musical?
I think by that point it was so late in the show and also in the writing process. I mean, I think I was finishing writing it while rehearsals began. It was really like the essence of the like, hey, let's put on a show.
Yeah.
The Rock Draw was not musicalized, but everybody got to sing. There was a theme that was the loser's anthem and everybody got to sing their version of it as they were voted out. So I think that's a good question. I don't remember exactly, but I think Pasco got to sing a special version of that song.
Can you give us a little bit of the loser's anthem?
Oh, yeah. Which version do you want?
Can you just give us anybody's version and then we can use it for all future, maybe Evolution Strategy Volume 4. Maybe each person should get their own loser's anthem.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Instead of a eulogy.
That's an evolution of
I'll say, Josh,
strategy.
Loser's anthem. And he'll say, sometimes he'll sing it, and sometimes he'll say, nope.
They don't get a loser's anthem. Yeah. Let's see. Well, I came here for the million, but I left here with a mess. Now I guess that dough will have to go to someone I like less. My head I'll try to hold up high, although my heart is broken. The tribe of knuckleheads has spoken. That was Hunter's.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Bravo, Miles. Nice. Oh, my God. And everyone had like their own version that like loosely fit into that framework.
Yeah. So like a slight variation on the rules a slight variation on the lyrics based on, you know, what their story was like.
Right.
Got it. But it's the Oompa Loompa of the.
Oh, that is a very apt analogy. Yes, yeah. It is the Oompa Loompa or the If I Only Had a Heart. Right. Of the musical, that they all add their voice to their version when they get voted out. And that's part of why the musical was so long, because everybody got to sing a song.
What was the runtime on Survivor the Musical?
I was just looking this over. Oh, this is sort of a fun story. It's like, oh, I'm doing this show. I'd love to get it on video. And so I got a friend of mine who was not a student. He was an avant-garde filmmaker that I had met. And I invited him to come and sit in the back and do one of those awful, you know, when you've seen a videotape of a stage performance and somebody's just in the back moving the camera around. but I'm pretty sure that he was high as a kite, because he would sometimes do things like while somebody was singing, he would do an extreme zoom and just like their lips would just fill the frame. Or sometimes it seemed like his... Yeah, he was
that,
an artist.
And that was like foreshadowing the filmmaking style on The Edge of Extinction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's all in this didgeridoo dad of time.
Yeah.
So the first act was 70 minutes, and I think the second act was also 70 minutes, I believe. So it was, you know, it was a chore to sit through.
Okay. It's a long show. The second act shouldn't be that long, man.
No, you're right, Josh. You're right. And so that's why we return to the through line if I'm dumb. So I want to connect this to the faculty member, Mel Shapiro, who attended the first act of the show. He did not return after the break. And it turned out later...
He left?
He left at the break, yeah. That was at least in part, that was likely due to the long runtime of the first act. But I happen to know that it was because, and again, I just remember this from 20 years ago, he got on a plane and he flew to Northern California and he taught a workshop that a friend of mine who was unrelated to UCLA happened to be at. And in that workshop, he mentioned that he had been at a show last night. And what he really liked the most, he said he saw something that was, you know, somewhat funny. And the piss song was the one that he really enjoyed. And the piss song is the last song that I have prepared for you. And this was the song where Mel Shapiro was... purple-faced, doubled over in laughter at the Kathy and John duet.
Classic Al Shapiro.
Here we go.
Brendan Shapiro's brother.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
This Amy is Shapiro's cousin.
Yes. This is a special ballad from Survivor. You'll be relieved to hear.
We're going to wash it all away with this.
Yes. Here we go. From Survivor the Musical.
This is Ryan Elder music.
Do you think this will work?
Couldn't hurt much worse than it does right now, but I read somewhere the ammonia should neutralize the sting. What's that?
Nothing.
As long as we've got a private moment, would you mind a little feedback with nothing but good intentions in it? Like you've always got a bee in your bonnet. Don't know why, can't put my finger on it.
I'd be grateful if you wouldn't put your finger on anything just at this particular minute. It can't be easy living in Nebraska, being a male nurse. What's it like? I just had to ask.
Sometimes better, sometimes worse. So, you're from Vermont. I know a lady from Vermont. My first boyfriend's favorite aunt.
So you're gay?
Yes.
Okay. I've never peed on a gay man before. In my state, you can legally marry.
Don't you also have Ben and Jerry?
Yes, but they're undergoing a messy divorce.
I think I'm feeling better.
Gosh, just when we were getting comfortable.
I'm gonna go have a wash.
You can learn a lot about yourself from a squat.
Now I have a fragrance reminiscent of vagrants.
I hope the best for row two.
Let us never lose immunity. It was lovely to get to know you. In fact, it was a golden opportunity.
Oh, gross. So was the choreography that they were just in the squat the entire time? Yeah, so they're deadlocked in the moment.
Yep. Yeah,
that's a visual. That's good. That's really, really funny.
Like, what would it be like if they just started singing? It might be like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the whole concept of the musical, right, is like you burst into song because the emotion is too great to express it any other way.
Exactly.
And I guess the only other way would be to urinate on a wound. So to combine those two things is maybe perhaps the greatest expression of emotion.
I think the greatest expression of emotion is what should go on the box. Yeah.
Well, I just said it. So if you ever decide to release it and you need to quote Josh Wigler, this has to be if Rob has a podcast, not if the Hollywood Reporter. I can't drag THR into the muck here.
I wouldn't want, yeah, I wouldn't do that to you.
Yeah.
I saw, so the sort of the follow up is that I saw Mel Shapiro like a year later after I'd graduated. I'd come back to campus to advertise a show that I was doing in Orange County. And I was putting up posters, which the prospect that anybody at UCLA was going to drive to Orange County to see that I was doing a play was, of course, absurd, but I didn't know that. Anyway, I ran into Mel and I was putting up a poster and I was like, Mel, I'm doing a show. You should come and see it. And this became a phrase in our family, what Mel said. He said, Miles, I'm not going to come see your show. I thought it was very funny. I like the piss song. It was long, though. Too long. Endless. And so long, too long, endless in the Mel Shapiro voice has become a famous quote in our family.
Mm-hmm. That could be house words for some sort of family in Westeros.
Long, too long, endless.
I've gotten the same feedback, Miles.
Yeah, he was right. Mel was right. He knew what he was talking about.
He knew. Miles, what were some of the other big tentpole moments of Survivor the Musical? Did you really focus in on the coconut chop?
Your coconut chop parang swing was rendered musically, but not sung exactly. I will say that prior to that, the Kitchen Alliance sang a barbershop quartet number that I was very proud of. Yeah.
As I've expressed, I love me a barbershop quartet.
That Bye Bye Blues barbershop quartet from this summer's first wand-off came very close to voting in a wand-off for the first time. I listen every week and I never vote. Why? I don't know. I don't have a
Well, you don't have any right to complain about who wins then, Miles.
And so I never do.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
School of thought that some people subscribe to where you can just listen to a podcast and enjoy it or not enjoy it, but you don't have to complain about it. I enjoy it, and therefore I don't complain about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you have the ability to vote, you should vote.
I have the ability. You know, I've come really close a couple of times. Usually the right song wins.
You've got no reason.
Mm. Yeah, the barbershop quartet. Yeah, it turned like the lyrics turned out kind of nice on that because it was like
turned
out to be nice, yeah. It's Bobby D's the cat from Queens and Tammy covers murder scenes and Johnny sees in lobster fisher limo driver all to win the game Survivor. Yeah, it was a whole mouthful. It was a whole thing. They practiced really hard to do that quartet mode. That was a tent pole. When Sean Rector is voted out at the final five, he sings a big, because his case to Kathy is, if you don't believe me, vote me out. And he has a big show-stopping second act gospel number where he sings, if you don't believe me, vote me out. Kind of in the tradition of Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat and other musicals that have a big gospel number in the second act.
Wow. Miles, have you considered bringing back a new version of Survivor the Musical for the modern era?
So here's the thing is there are obviously there's a plethora of musical artists in the Survivor community.
Certainly.
The Wandoff artists, even beyond that.
Jason Curtis Rivera is currently at work at Robin Akiva Need a Musical.
You know, is that true?
For over a year, I believe.
There has been
should be a masterpiece.
There have been over a year?
Yes, I believe so.
You can't rush perfection. The Sistine Chapel wasn't done one podcast.
I guess that's true. And, you know, these things take time. But there's
we're not
going to
yada the wheel spin or anything, Josh.
There has been a lot of interest in some sort of Survivor, the musical, the podcast. Miles, it feels like you've got the ability to turn this into a reality.
I had the ability. You know, I think I feel pretty good about Survivor the Musical's location in the past, in my fond memory and recollection of me and my fun theater friends putting on a show, you know, like a bunch of scrappy Davids. If I were to write a musical today, I would approach it very differently. Like I said, I was an undergrad in theater. I've stepped off that path. I still am a fan of the arts, but I'm not really writing musicals now. You know, when my kids are a little older, who knows what the future may hold. But I think that if listening to some, you know, half-baked songs with beautiful musical work by Ryan and Aaron, and I don't want to undersell that, if somebody out there is inspired, I think that they should run with it.
Yes.
And I think making way for a new generation of voices is probably the best thing that I could do.
Josh, can I pitch you on an idea for Survivor the Musical?
And yeah, of course.
It is based off and it is involving a Brant Steele, where the Brant Steele is 16, 18, perhaps even 20 musical artists with well-known song libraries. And then the Survivor the Musical artists would simulate the Brant Steele. And then for round by round, then there is some sort of musical number based on what's happened in the style or in the parody of a song of the artists involved.
So like whoever gets voted out.
Maybe it's their goodbye song. Maybe it's a big like idol play in the style of. But you have, you know, it would pertain to the people who are being played. It's all musical legends.
Like John Legend?
John Legend, I guess, potentially.
Okay. Yeah, so I could be convinced.
That sounds really fun. So the Brant Steele would be run through once
they would
secret.
Run it. Yes, yes.
They'll run through once.
And then we would be watching it play out and then have the musical accompaniment.
Yeah, and then you could sort of farm out the songs to all the many talented Wandoff creators.
Right. The songs would be all done ahead of time. You're right, Brian.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think you've fallen really in love with Brant Steele.
I just think that it is a good jumping off point for a lot of different ways that you could like do the improv show of a podcast.
Yeah, no, I think that that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I think that there's enough. Yeah, I think that the mix of Brant Steele and not Brant Steele on the podcast, this has now turned into, I thought that this was going to turn into like the MST3K of Miles's musical, but instead we're offering Rob real-time comments on his podcast feed. Mm-hmm. I think that the mix of Brant Steele and not Brant Steele is just right.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, look, any excuse to, you know, have a reason for a show at this point. I'm happy to work it through.
And I think this show is perfect proof of
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. But this was wonderful, Miles.
I'm this is a delight.
Anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I do. If I could get serious for a moment, I had a really interesting revelation. So first of all, I got to listen to a bit of the Jamal podcast last night. And always worthwhile listening to Jamal's content. And I think, you know, a lot of us, as we've been at home and we're viewing the events of the world and the social change that we hope is on the way and the demonstrations that are, you know, so vital and important to a lot of us, it's been an opportunity for introspection for sure. And I know the conversations that I've had with my friends and my peers. And when I rewatched Survivor, episode 3 of Marquesas, I was really struck. So on the first watch through, it was clear that Sean Rector was an all-star. That was clear.
Yeah.
I remember being a young man and watching Survivor Marquesas, and I was sort of among the people who was watching Survivor going, what? Vesepia won? What was Vesepia's deal? Like, you know, she didn't really have a presence on the show. Like, what was her story all about? So I rewatched this episode, and it made me realize, number one, how wrong I was. Because Vesepia is all over this episode. She's like conducting conversations in the camp, post-tribal council. She's very funny. She's a big part of the radio show. She's strong in the challenge. Like, Vesepia was front and center. She was all over that episode. And I have to assume that for reasons that are related to, you know, my own internalized prejudices and racism, I wasn't prepared to see and hear Vesepia's story. And it was a real shock watching an episode that I watched as a young man and watching it now with my attention and my focus in a different way. As somebody who runs team building games, this is something I see a lot. What I see specifically, and this is related to women's voices, and I think it relates to people of color because I've learned more about intersectionality. But I see a team solving a problem and I'm standing in front of the puzzle and I designed the puzzle and I know the answer. And I will hear a woman say the answer to the puzzle. And what usually happens is the men and women on that team don't hear her. It's as if she didn't speak. I see it happen all the time. And so what I have come to say is that the success of a team usually has to do with how well the men and women on the team can listen to what the women have to say. And I guess I thought because I was born and raised in Oakland that I'm from California, I thought, oh, well, you know, I've got progressivism baked in. I get that for free. And that's not the case. I wasn't able to, in the same way that these people I'm describing, they can't hear the women on their team, I couldn't understand Vesepia's story. And I regret that. I feel bad about that. And it's a good reminder that you don't get that for free. You have to be actively involved in your developing your ability to listen to voices of people who are not like you. And it's sort of a great, what I haven't mentioned about this musical is that, and it is, I will say, I'm embarrassed or I'm regretting that I erased Vesepia from the musical. And I put myself in that role. And I did. What's weird is that you can check the release date, but the movie adaptation, I don't think had come out yet. But what I did was I put Miles, the playwright, trying to adapt Survivor the musical in the role of Vesepia. And it was sort of like this, like, you know, M.C. Escher, like snake eating its own tail thing. Like I'm acting out the story. And it was, you know, it was the kind of thing that like a young person writing theater might do, you know, without a lot of world experience. But I look back on it now and I go, well, I erased her voice and that's not cool. And so I feel bad about that. I would do it differently now. You've heard me say that a couple of times, but it made me realize that Survivor has definitely, I think over the years, not served well the women and the women of color and the people of color who've been on the show. And it's really pronounced when you look at characters like, I want to say, am I getting Julia Carter from, a character who I think whose story was not well served. But like compared to Julia, Vesepia's story was particularly well told. I was the problem. Now I think that, you know, Survivor and sometimes the way in which the show is, you know, formatted and presented can be the problem. You know, there's enough blame to go around. I was really glad to watch an old episode of Survivor for entertainment value and because of my silly musical and have it play into an eye-opening process of better developing, you know, my ability to be an ally in the change. I'm hopeful that we will actually change, not just lip service, but the change that's happening all around us. And that's my serious comment on Survivor Marquesas.
Really well said. Yeah, I think, and one of the things that really resonates with me with what you said is like, you're from Oakland, you're from California, you're progressive, you just have that. And I've taken that so for granted with myself, that I am, you know, the son of who I grew up believing are like incredibly liberal people. I'm very liberally minded. I'm very progressively minded. I like to consider myself a great ally to so many people. And I, in like the last few weeks, especially as this conversation has becoming louder and louder and more global, I have like examined a lot of my own past behavior and a lot of my own inability to see the stories of Black people and people of color, either in my lives or on my screens or, you know, in the periphery of my life, and my failing to see their stories and to hear their stories. And I don't have much to add other than I think what you said really speaks to a lot of what I've been feeling as well. So I just want to thank you for being so articulate with that. I think that's really important stuff for everybody to hear as a straight white dude with money and a platform. You know, that speaks to me very, very deeply. So I really appreciate that from you, Miles.
Miles, and if I'm hearing what you're saying correctly, it sounds like it might be time to then go back and redo Survivor the Musical, not with you in the role of Vesepia. This could be the perfect time now.
Could be the perfect time. Well, I don't know that that's still necessarily the best way to amplify
Vesepia's
the voices.
Tell Vesepia's story through song.
I don't know.
Tell it through song. And it's, you know,
It's an idea.
Yeah. Like, we can open. I love that there's going to be a range of new voices added to the podcast. And you know, a private conversation, well, a one-on-one conversation I was having with a friend of mine where I was talking about, like, God, I wish I'd been better able to see the obvious, right? I wish I could have seen what was so obvious. And he said something that really, my friend John said, well, you know, there's a saying, when the fog clears, you see Mount Fuji, right? Maybe it was Mount Fuji all along and you can kick yourself, but it was, you know, it took the fog to clear. So I'm now taking a nice aphorism and beating it to death. But I think that, and Josh, to your point, I think that somebody phrased it to me or, you know, described it as there's a certain aspect of this work that's like a ladder. You know, you climb a rung and you say, oh, well, you know, I have Black friends and I do these things, so I'm at this position on a ladder. But the work is not done because there's always another rung that you can climb to better increase your tolerance and your ability to be an ally. And I really appreciate all the voices who have helped bring our attention to the work that remains to be done in order to help cultivate allies so that we can leave a lot of these ugly patterns in the past and put them in the dustbin of history where they and Survivor the Musical.
Okay. Miles, where can people follow more of what you're doing?
I'm on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm trying to do less Twitter because it's a great way to feel bad. If you want to reach for your phone and feel bad and you don't want to wait around, just amen, take a look sir. At the old Twitteroo. Amen. So I'm at Miles Nye, and that's MyLesNye. On Instagram, I'm Miles Nye Graham. You can go to my website, milesnye.com. As a business owner who does live events, these last 3 months have been a real pivot. Tomorrow's going to be day 100 of Shelter in Place for me.
Wow.
We're developing some different stuff, but honestly, my day is mostly built around tending to my kids' needs. I've got two kids who are at home all the day. So the fact that I was able to steal a little bit of time to force other people to do work for me for free, including you guys, is like kind of like my big indulgence of Shelter in Place so far. And you know what? I did actually have one last thing that I want to say, if it's okay. I know we're winding down here, but I did train as a theater artist, and that was a big part of my life, and I still love live theater. And I think that right now, to the topic that we were just talking about, there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of trauma that's going around. A lot of people are suffering based on the circumstances. And those are important stories that need to be told. Not everybody's first thought is necessarily, but what about the theater artists? But the truth is like that my heart, if you're listening to this and you are a theater artist, my heart is with you. Because, you know, what we say is the show must go on. And I love being in the theater and watching performers spraying their particles of spit out into the air, sitting close to other people. We can't do that right now. And it's the pits. And for theater artists whose livelihoods are disrupted or who your voice is being, you're not able to follow your passion right now, or you're worried about your future. I don't have the answers. I wish I did. But I want to say, if you're listening to this, I hear you. And if nobody said it, I'm really sorry that this is happening. I look forward to when we can all sing our songs and spray our spittle once more. And, who knows, once we've reached a happier chapter, maybe I'll be so inspired that we will do some of these songs with some tweaks in a cabaret format. So yeah, just to my brothers and sisters and the community of theater people and theater lovers, I just want you to know that I feel for you, that my heart is with you.
Okay. The great Miles Nye. Of course, Josh will be back to talk about the season 29, episode 4 on The Wiggle Room. We talk about The Ballad of Drew Christie. Somebody should a Survivor musical about Drew Christie.
Miles, you've got...
Okay. Now you have really got me interested. Up until now, it's been like, yeah, you guys are nice. That's a good idea. But a singing Drew Christie... What rhymes with meat collector?
I bet Alec Christie.
But that's his brother. You could still tie it in. The deadline, I believe, is probably like Monday around noon Eastern would be my bet. So you've got a weekend to put that together.
With my other hat, the professional hat, I feel much more comfortable in my challenge consultant hat. I had a lot of challenges on the Aaron San Juan del Sur. What challenges were in that episode? You guys just watched. Do you just
I believe
there
was
the
ring
challenges?
Toss, and I believe that Drew Christie threw it. I think I forget how what the beginning
part. Of course, he threw it. It's a ring toss.
No, he was trying to get Kelly. He tanked the challenge.
Yeah, he's a master manipulator.
Yeah, he was like, hey, let me have this, and then that was the challenge. There was swimming, and then there was ring toss.
Yes. No, that wasn't mine.
Okay. All right. Josh Wiggler, what else do you have going on besides the Wiggle Room this week?
We've got the Top Chef finale to discuss on reality TV, Rehab Ups. Top Chef is over. Top Chef All-Stars LA is in the books. No spoilers, but a really great finale. So the panel's getting, we're getting the band back together once more. We'll be recording Saturday morning, and hopefully that podcast will be up Saturday night. Push your recaps down the hatch. Still going forward. Everything is super. We're up to Guardians of the Galaxy. That should be coming out this weekend as well. I'm recording that in a couple of hours here with the great Kevin Mahadeo. And some bonus podcasting. I spoke with my good buddy, Survivor legend himself, Zeke Smith.
Whoa.
We have a podcast that's like covering a wide range of things. Starts off as a podcast about the Netflix show Space Force, which Zeke had been watching as like quarantine comfort viewing. And then it goes on a little bit more of a journey about just like, where are our heads right now? That should be coming out sometime early next week.
Did you like Space Force, or we have to listen to the podcast?
I didn't watch Space Force.
Oh, you talked to Zeke watched Zeke Space Force.
Zeke told me what Space Force is all about. So if you haven't watched Space Force, you could still listen to this podcast. And if you have watched Space Force, you can see whether or not you agree or disagree with Zeke. But if you are only coming into it for Space Force, then you just want to listen to like the first half hour of the podcast and then ditch on the rest.
Okay.
Any chance you think Zeke is going to listen to this podcast?
Zero.
Oh, well.
I would say almost none.
He likes musicals.
He does.
Okay. All right.
All right. There you go. All right. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. I mentioned Rob and Akiva are going to write a bop that slaps this weekend. And then people loved the last Talking with T-Bird with Tom Westman. We've got another really good one coming up this weekend. So be on the lookout for the next Talking with T-Bird, and we'll be back with the Wiggle Room on Monday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.